Good evening. You came back. I couldn't help but laugh when he was. I was just a student in school, and I'll just hit upon a little bit about that. But some of you heard that, but I'm not going to go over the whole story. But we were having a big day for the bus ministry, and on a Saturday, we as a kind of a reward and to be a blessing to the bus kids, we told them we're going to take them down to the Detroit Zoo if they wanted to go. And so we had 2,500 bus kids from Pontiac going to the zoo. And the bus director said to me, and here I am, I'm just a new student and I'm just excited about the Lord. And he says to me, I've got something to do. He said, Brother Herb, would you like to take charge of this? And I said, Me? He said, yeah, could you do? I said, that would be wonderful. Now think with me. 2,500 bus kids going to the Detroit Zoo. We weren't there 20 minutes. And the speaker, the loudspeaker said, would Herb Hutchison report to the sound tower immediately? And I said, uh-oh. So I went to the sound tower and I said, what's the matter? And the man was walking back and forth and he said, you got to get these kids out of here. And he said, I mean now. He said, there was a place called Monkey Island. Monkey Island, where there was a moat of water, and then Monkey Island. All the monkeys were on the top of that mountain like this. The kids had jumped the fence, waded across the water, and were throwing bread and stuff at these monkeys and everything. And this guy says, you got to get these kids out of here. He said, the lions are nervous. They're back and forth in the cage. And he said, we're getting very nervous. And I'll tell you, it was something I don't want to ever experience again. Amen. Oh, some of the stories. It's all, you know what? At that time, I wanted to pull my hair out. See, you can tell. But I look back and what wonderful times working with those bus kids. I can't tell you so many stories and kids getting saved. People in the ministry, they came off the bus routes. So praise the Lord for that. Somebody's asked my this morning or this evening said that he liked the way I picked on my wife a little bit like that. And she's used to that. I always do that. She's my sweetheart, and I like to tease her. I told her, well, she told me once, and she said, she was teasing me, and I said, you're teasing me. Why are you teasing me? She said, I wouldn't tease you if I didn't love you. That was the first time she told me that. So I really love, I've never lost a honeymoon with my wife. I just love her to pieces, and she's so cute. She's turning red now, too. But she said, preach. Go ahead and preach. But our son just, you know, texted me before the service. He lived down in Texas. And I was thinking about that. They, all our kids are always in contact. We're with them there in the Lord's service. And it was funny one night. Because she's really cute. I mean, she does things. It knocks me out. We were coming home from church, and we just, you know, I was back in the car in the garage, and the phone rang, and she's talking to her son Greg on the phone, and she's just talking to him about this and that and everything. And so I parked the car in the garage, closed the garage door, went and unlocked the doors to get in the house, and she got out of the car, and she come in the house in the kitchen and everything, and she's just talking to Greg and just smiling and every beaming and everything. And that she said, we just got home. She said, oh, she said, you know what? She said, I left the phone in the car. She said, here, talk to Greg while I go get the phone. And I said, honey. Oh, amen. Then she started laughing. I love her laugh. She would laugh. Anyways, I'll preach now. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I enjoy being saved. It is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'll tell you what, I can't get over it all. I mean, that music tonight, I want to thank the Mitchells. They had us over for dinner today, and it was just a wonderful time. Mom and Pop came over, and Bruce and Sandy, and we just had a good time fellowshipping there at the table and everything. Thank you so much for that. And I'll tell you, I enjoy it. We go up any place the Lord leads us. I preach in a lot of churches up in northern Michigan or places where other evangelists and preachers won't go because they just don't want to bother with it. But I'll go up there because these churches, 50, 75 people, wonderful people, love the Lord, give to missions. And I tell them, I'll come because I just enjoy that so much, you know, just doing that. And we're traveling, we get back this week and I've got to go. Thursday we head for El Paso, Texas for a missions revival and then back to Dallas and then we get back home a couple of days and then I'm heading back up north again. And I had a preacher call me this afternoon and said, could you come for a meeting? Some people even asked me, you know, for 2021? And I said, could you come in 2021? I said, how long do you think I'm going to live? I mean, you know, but I tell you, the Lord is good. But I like to smile a lot. I really believe that, like they said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I really believe that. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. It is. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I don't think God meant us to just walk around with long faces all the time. When I got saved, you heard a little bit about that this morning. When I got saved, and I'll start to preach here in a minute. I'm just having fun. You know, you're good listeners, and I know God's called me to do this. But anyways, when I got saved, it was so wonderful that every time I was at church and they'd give the altar call, invitation, I go to the altar. I still do that. I still do that when I'm at home and my preacher preaches. I'll go to the altar. When I was first saved, there was a fellow in the church. There's always somebody in the church. This fellow had the longest face I ever saw in my life. And you maybe heard me tell this, but that fellow, he looked like he had a face like a Missouri mule. I mean, it was long. Always like you. I'd go forward at the altar, and honestly, I just pray and cry and thank God for saving me. And one day, after the service was over, he come up to me and he said, why do you always go forward like that? Get up there and pray and cry. Why do you do that? And I was just a green Christian. I just young. I didn't know any better. I just looked him in the eye and I said, because I don't want to get like you. I never read How to Win Friends and Influence People. But I just said it a minute, heart with tear in my eye. I said, I just don't want to be like you. And he wouldn't speak to me anymore. So about a week went by. Next service, next Sunday, I think it was, the preacher preached and gave the invitation, and guess who went forward? Before I did. There he goes. This man went forward. I can just see this. I mean, he was a member of that church for 150 years. He had moss on his back. I mean, he was just a long... But I picture things in my mind. You say, what kind of a mind is that? But I picture things. But I could just see in heaven when that guy went forward. That's probably the first time he ever went to the altar, probably in 150 years. And I can imagine of the scene. I bet you that I can imagine that Jesus probably scooted out a little bit on the throne there next to the Father and said, can you believe this? Look, and the angels started singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you imagine? You know, that fellow frequented the altar after that. And he got closer to the Lord, you know, and it's amazing how a long face can be turned to a shorter face when you smile. when you smile. Well, Romans chapter 1, if you stand with me, I want to talk to you this evening about this subject. Do you have any bills to pay? Do you have any debts to pay? How many have bills to pay? Any visitors from heaven here today? Well, we all have bills, don't we? I want to read this in Romans chapter 1 because the title of my message is We Have a Debt to Pay. We have a debt to pay. Romans chapter 1, notice verse 13. It says, now, Paul writing, he says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul says, I am debtor, in verse 14, to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Paul knew that he was in debt. And I believe he spent the rest of his life after he got saved getting out of debt and paying his bill. God help us to see that tonight, church. We're in debt. We're debtors to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid his price on the cross, didn't he? He's left us with a job to do, and he's expecting us to pay our debt. Heavenly Father, help us to see this tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us to see how important the church is, why you left us here on this earth. And I pray that, Lord, there's people in our cobweb of friends, there's people in our family that are yet unsaved. Help us, Lord, to see how important it is to pay the debt for them, to tell them, to relieve ourselves of the debt of the gospel and share that with them, because they're going to spend eternity someplace. Lord, you died so that they could go to heaven. Help us, Lord, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, help us not to keep this treasure of the gospel in our earthen vessels and to hide it from the world that needs the light of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to pay our debt. I pray in Jesus' name, you be glorified. I pray that people will be challenged to pay their debt. In Jesus' name I pray, and I love you. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Every believer is indebted to get the gospel message out. You know, a person is judged by how they pay their debts. If a person doesn't pay their debts, they're really not trusted much in anything. Like, I have a Discover card, but, you know, Discover, Visa, American Express, or whatever you use, you know, and even the banks, if they expect us to pay our bill, what about God, who's righteous in all of his ways? What should we do? Should we leave our debts unpaid? I want you to investigate tonight your heart and thoroughly look at your heart. Are there some debts that you've left unpaid in your life? There's one thing, maybe I've shared it with you, was when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to learn was how to lead someone to the Lord. I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, I want to know how to lead someone to the Lord. Can you show me what to do? I mean, I didn't know. I was just a new Christian, but I wanted to know how to get people saved. I was talking to people about the Lord and what the Lord did to me, but I didn't know how to draw the net. I said, what do I need to do? And so he took me and he sat me down and went through the Romans Road and showed me how to mark my Bible and everything and what to do. And I thought, boy, I was so glad to see that. Because I was so fearful as a new Christian. I didn't know. I said, when I lead somebody to the Lord, I want them to understand what this means. And I don't want to get them stuck in the middle someplace because maybe they wouldn't make it and go to purgatory or someplace. You know, I want to make sure they were saved. I don't believe in purgatory. Anyways, I wanted them to be saved. And so I learned the Romans Road. And I said, well, I may not always have a Bible with me. So I said, I better memorize this. And you know, we're busy. I was managing a rubber company and had a family to raise and all of these things. But I memorized the Romans Road, and I did it while I was mowing the lawn. I get out my riding mower, and that was the time I had. And so I memorized the Romans Road, memorized that scripture while I was mowing the lawn. I killed two birds with one stone. Not really birds, but I planted some real nice, beautiful blue spruce trees, about six of them, in a line. And I'm memorizing the scripture, riding the tractor along there, and I just read them, for all of sin and come short, boom! There's another tree. I wiped all of those trees out. It was terrible, but I memorized the Romans Road. And I got that down because I wanted to pay my debt. But you know, after I did know that and I had all of that, you know how Satan will put fear in your heart sometimes to keep you from doing what you should do. He'll use that fear to stop you, you know, dead in your tracks. There was a fellow, or his wife she was in charge of all the inspectors in our company there. And she said, well, my husband went to the hospital. And he had a heart attack yesterday. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, I'll go up and see him after work. And I went up there to see this man. And I told myself, and I prayed all the way up. I said, Lord, I'm going to tell him about the Lord. I want to tell him what happened to me. And so I went up to the hospital, and as I walked into the hospital, there he was laying in this bed. And, you know, I walked up to him, and we talked about this and we talked about that, and we never got around to the Lord because of this fear. Just Satan used that fear to keep me from doing what I should have done. And I promised myself, I left and I said, well, I hope you do better. And I promised myself, I'll probably be up to see you tomorrow if it's all right. And I left, and promising myself and the Lord, I said, tomorrow, Lord, I will talk to him. And I went up the next day to see him, and I can remember when I walked in the hospital, I got to his room, and the bed was all made up real nice. The room was clean, and I thought, oh, he's okay. Everything's fine. He must have gone home. And I was standing there looking in the room and everything, and a nurse come up and says, can I help you? I said, yeah, I was looking for this gentleman here who was in this bed right here. And she said, who are you? I said, yeah. She said, your family? And I said, no, I'm just a friend that I just visiting, a friend of the family, and I just want to come up and see him. And she said, then you've not heard. And I said, no, what happened? She said, he passed away last night. I've never gotten over that. It bothers me still. I was probably his last chance of getting saved. And I didn't pay my debt. And honestly, it tears my heart out. And I promised the Lord, I said, Lord, with your help, I don't want that to ever happen again. I want to pay my debt. Paul said, I am debtor. I am debtor. Both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, he says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm willing, he says. I'm ready. I'm eager to share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? Because he wanted to pay his debt. Oh, I think We've got 7.6 billion people on this earth today. As much as two-thirds of them have never been, they've never maybe seen a page of scripture, church. They've never seen a Bible. They've never heard a sermon. They've never been able to sit and hear a sermon. And this is why just my wife and I, why we travel, why we're doing, I'm not just doing this to fill space and to make some money or whatever to help me through my retirement. I'm not retired, but listen, it motivates me because there's a debt we need to pay to the world, folks. Paul says, in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we ashamed of the gospel? I hope not. In verse 14, he says, I have an indebtedness. Paul says, I have a readiness. In verse 15, he was ready, always ready. Paul had a passion in his life, and it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was mentioning today that after I was saved, it was about 6 miles to drive to Ravenna where I worked. I would pray all the way to work. I mean, I would thank the Lord. It's a good time to pray. I was praying, and as I'd pray and go to work, I'd pray. I'd say, Lord, help me to somebody in the factory. Help me to have an opportunity when there's nobody else around them where I can just be alone with them, where I can share with them what you've done for me. You know, if you'll pray that prayer, wherever you are, he'll answer that prayer for you every day. Put someone in my path, Lord. And the problem is when he gives us these divine opportunities, I call them, we miss it. We miss paying our debt. But I'd go and I can remember one fellow, a young man, he came to work. This kid, I loved the kid. And he just got out of school, and he'd come to school to work driving a new Corvette, a red one. You know, I like cars, right? He drives this, and I said, is that your car? He said, yeah. He said, my dad got it for me when I graduated. And I said, thou shalt not covet. I said, he gave it to you. He said, yeah. I said, well, his dad was a wealthy man and everything. I said, well, why are you working? He said, oh, he said he thought I ought to have a job just to do something. He said, that's why I come to work and everything and that. Name was Sam. I said, well, Sam, can I tell you about what happened to me? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, it's okay. He said, everybody's talking about it in the shop, about what happened to you. You're so different. What happened? I talked to him about the Lord, this young fella. And he listened real patiently and everything, was always kind. Talked to him about the Lord, and I tried to draw the net, and he'd say, oh, he'd say, I'm not ready for that. And I'm not ready for that yet. I tell you, almost every day I would talk to him. And of course, I wasn't there very long because God called me into the ministry, and I left that rubber business industry in 1972 to go to Midwestern Baptist College in Pontiac, Michigan. And I never could get that fellow saved. I had others saved. I think I had around 15 or so. I brought him talked to him. I remember one fellow, I had him, hired him, put him out in the maintenance department. He's out there working in a vice, and he's all alone. And the Holy Spirit said, sick him. You know what that means? He said, sick him. So I went out there, and this fellow, he's working in the vice and everything. And then I said, Dale, I said, can I tell you, I said, what happened to me, how I got saved? And he looked at me and everything, and he says, well, I'm saved. And I heard his stories before I was saved in the lunchroom. I listened to what came out of his mouth and everything, you know, and just as a new Christian, you know. And he said, well, I'm saved. And I said, you are? He says, yeah, why? I said, I just wondered. I just been hearing you speak. And he said, well, he said, I'm saved, but not like you. He come in a little later to my office, and he said, can I go to church with you Sunday? I said, sure. I said, I'll sit with you. Took him to church. He sit with me. That fella. You know, it's interesting. When you sow the seed, you never know what's going to happen. It's exciting. And he comes to church with me, and the invitation was given. He said, would you walk forward with me? I said, well, sure. He go up there, and I said, preacher, I said, this man wants to get saved. I don't know, there were about 15 of the company that came to church and got saved like that. I didn't know what to do, but I led them to people that knew what to do because I wanted to pay my debt. I wanted to pay my debt. Well, I went to school in 1972, graduated in 1976, went over to Pastor Temple Baptist Church in 1978, and I was there, I think, 2 years after that. It was about 1980. My wife answers the phone. She said, there's somebody who wants to talk to you. And she said, his name's Sam. So I pick up the phone. I said, she said, Herb. He said, do you remember me, Sam? I said, Sam who? He said, Sam Ernest. He said, Sam Ernest, you work. He was the rich kid with the vet. He said, I wanted you to know. He said, probably nobody ever tells you. He said, but you know what? He said, well, all of your working and everything wasn't in vain. He said, I wanted to tell you. He said, you know, I got saved. I'm married now. My wife's saved. And he said, I have two or three kids and they're saved. And he said, we're all going to Sunday school and church. He said, I'm a Sunday school teacher. He said, I just wanted to thank you for paying your debt. Oh, listen, folks. We've got to step out into the water and do it. Listen, we have the debt of the gospel to share with people. We're obligated to pay our debt. Paul thought that as a believer that he was obligated to pay his debt. And you read about what he went through. I mean, perils of robbers, perils in the sea, danger everywhere he went, beaten to death, stoned once with stones at Lystra. I mean, he all went through that to pay his debt of the gospel. He was obsessed with it. Jesus, this is what really got me. Jesus said, this is, in Luke 19:10, we always put that on our bulletin when I was pastoring. Luke 19:10, Jesus said this, didn't he? He said, for the Son of Man is come to what? To seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he left heaven. Jesus, our Lord that we love and admire and adore, Jesus left the glories of heaven to seek and to save that which is lost. And before he went back to heaven, he said in John 20:21, he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. That was enough for me. That was enough for me. That Jesus, in fact, Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians 5:19. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. That's the church. Hath committed unto us. He's put it in our hands, in other words. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of reconciliation draws sinful man back into a right relationship with God. He's committed that to us. He's assigned that to us. He's put it in us, our hands. We've got to pay our debt, church. Now, when I look at these, I take it personal. When he says us, I say that he's speaking to me. I'm a believer. He's speaking to me. And he's given me this gospel. I need to share it. I owe this. I'm in debt. I've got to share the gospel. Well, a young fellow came forward this morning, wanted to tell me, he's here someplace tonight, I think he told me that he got saved this morning, 15 years old. What a joy. What a joy. Come in on the bus. Wow. You know, someone has to sow the seed. That's us. That's us. Where do we start? Right where you live. And then take it to the end of the world. We're in debt. Someone has to sow the seed. John 12:24, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Haggai 2:19, God says, is the seed yet in the barn? You know, as Christians, we quit, so many churches, they've stopped witnessing. They've stopped going soul winning. And I say, why? We have a debt to pay to the world. And we need to pay our debt. We got to sow the seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We have a debt to pay. I had a call one day that a friend that I met in the chamber, he called me. He was the president of the Container Corporation in Ravana, Ohio. Great big business there where they made containers. And he called me one day on the phone. He says, Herb, he said, hey. He said, I've got a son. He said, I'd like to get him a job. He said, could you give him a job? And I said, well, sure. I'll put him someplace. He said, he won't. He sasses my wife and he won't. He just won't do anything. He just don't want to speak to us. Just ugly. He said he really needs help. And he said, I said, well, send him over. I'll see if I can help him. And I said, Lord, there's a reason why that you put him into my cobweb. I started again. This young fellow, hardly talk at the beginning. I just talked to him about the Lord. I said, you know, the greatest wonderful thing, most wonderful thing happened to me. Jesus Christ came into my life, and listen, it's wonderful. I said, I love him, and you know, and I just would talk to him, and I started doing that every day. And I think it was about a month, after about the first month that he was there. One day I came in, and I walked out where he's working. I put him out in the maintenance department, and this young man, he came up to me just as serious as a heart attack, and he said, could we go someplace where I could talk to you alone? And I said, certainly. So we went over. We had a whole building as big as this building, just full of forms and everything we used in the latex to make products with. And nobody would go over there. It was all just empty warehouse until we went over to get a form. But anyways, we went over there and we got in one of those aisles there. There were long aisles and the racks with all the forms. And he said, you know, I've been listening to what you said. And he said, I'm getting so I can't sleep at night. He said, I don't know what's happening and what's going on, but he said, I just feel like I want to know more about this. And what is this that you're talking about? And can you tell me how I can get what you've got? And I talked to him. It wasn't very long. I mean, he was like a ripe pear, you know, that just fell off into my hands, and I can still picture it. We got down on our knees there in that cement floor in a cold warehouse. And man showed him what he needed to do to be saved, and he got gloriously saved. He hugged me afterwards. I tell you, it was wonderful. Boy, he was a changed kid. About a week and a half after that, his dad calls me. He said, Herb. I said, yes. What have you done to my kid? I didn't know what was coming. He said, what have you done to my kid? He said, he mowed the lawn the other day. I never asked him. I saw him hugging on his mother the other night. Kissed her. Said, Mom, I'm sorry for things I've said to you. He's talking about wanting to go to church. What did you do to him? I said, I told him about what happened to me. How the Lord saved me. Turned my life around. And of course, when he heard that, he wasn't interested in that. And he just cut the conversation short. But this young man, thank God, I paid my debt. Are you with me, church? He got saved. I really don't know what happened to him. But I paid my debt. And I pray and hope that he's serving the Lord someplace, because he was really serious. You know, I told you this morning how my brother sent me that letter, how he got saved. Put that track in that. You know, you might have somebody in your family. You say, I can't hardly talk to them. It's hard for me to face them. Can you write them a letter? Could you just sit down and just share your heart of what the Lord means to you? I mean, he ought to mean something to you if he saved you. Can't you, through just the love and compassion of a concerned heart, just write them a letter and tell them what Jesus has done, and you love them and you want them to know this Jesus that you love? Put a track in there. My brother paid his debt. My dear sweet mother, when I asked her about what she wanted for her birthday, and she said, I just want you to come for the revival, and it's my birthday gift, and I went to the revival, but I got the gift. Amen. She didn't get the gift, but I got the gift. Amen. She paid her debt. In fact, my mother, I've heard so many people say, well, I just can't do that. I can't, you know, I'm just not one to talk. I'm just not one to talk to people. And I've heard them on the phone. You know what I mean? I just can't talk to people. My mother, just a short woman. My wife corrected me this afternoon. She said she wasn't 5'2". Now you better be truthful. And she cleared it up. My mother was 4'11". Is that okay, honey? All right. 4'11". When I got saved, my little mother got so excited and revived in her spirit. She lived on Lime Ridge Road. It run from Route 88 to Route 303, and it was about 3 miles up to between the two highways. She went to the preacher, the pastor, and she said, Pastor, there's nobody on my road coming to church but me. I want some of those gospel tracts. He said, here, he got her whole fistful of them. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to tell every one of them they ought to be going to church with me. That's the way my mother was. She took that, folks, listen, by herself, a widow woman, with those gospel tracts, she walked all the way up, talked to everybody on the right side to 303, walked all the way back to 88, talked to everybody on her road in the country about what Jesus Christ had done in her life and in my life and saving me. And you know what happened, folks? There were 5 families off that road that came to our church and got saved and got baptized. 5 families for my little mother. And one of them surrendered. He's a missionary right now over in Ontario. You know, when I went to school, they taught us personal evangelism and all these things. You can know all these mechanics, but you know what? All you need is a burning heart. Somebody said, asked me today, said, well, you didn't say anything about your wife getting saved. Did she get saved? I say, folks, just keep praying for me. I don't know. No, she got saved. You know, when I went to church that next Sunday morning, and I went forward and I prayed and I cried till the invitation was done. I got in the car to go back home. I wanted to stay there all day. I couldn't understand why the people wanted to go home. I said, preacher, doesn't this go all day long? He said, well, no, we got to eat. Sleep, you know. I said, I'd just like to stay here all day. This is so wonderful. I drove out of the church parking lot and I drove down the Route 14 bypass, got down to the traffic light. I was so happy in my soul. My wife was looking out the window and I looked over at her and she looked back at me and she said, "It's okay for you, but not for me." She looked back out the window. You talk about what Jesus said, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And a sword divides." For the first time in our marriage, I felt divided from her. I went to the preacher. I said, "Preacher, what can I do? I want her to get saved. I want her to know what I've got. I want her to..." He said, "Let's pray and fast for her." He covenanted with me and I started praying and fasting for her to get saved. I'd do that all the time. I'd be in there and one time she was calling me, wanted something. I was in there praying in the bedroom and she come in there, opened the door and she saw me on my knees and I was just praying and she closed the door back up. I think God was working in her heart and I always felt, well, like, you know, one thing that I still do this. I like to get things for her, just for no reason, just except that I love her. I'll get her something, bring it to her. And I know she always likes a new dress once in a while. Amen, ladies? You don't want a new dress. My wife always likes something like that, and so I figured I'll go get a dress for her. I was trying to kill her with kindness, loving her like the pastor said. So I went into Maury's dress shop to get her a dress. Maury says, "Oh yeah, this is what your wife, this is her size. It's from here down to there." He said, "Just go through here and pick out something." So I went through there and I picked out the nicest one I could find. I took it up there to the counter, and as I laid it on the counter, the woman that was running the checkout, she just very stone-faced and everything. And I smiled and I just looked at her and I said, "I'm getting this for my wife because I love her." And she said, "Oh, that's nice." You never know, folks. That was in 1970. And when she wrapped it up for me and everything, and when she wrapped it up in that, I took a track out of my pocket and I said, "Could I give you this?" I said, "I just got saved a couple weeks ago," and I said, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The Lord saved me. I said, "Would you read this?" I said, "There's a good message in there about how you can get saved." I said, "Would you take this?" And she reluctantly said, "Yeah, thank you." I walked out of there. I got her the dress. It wasn't the dress that saved her, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But that night, I got the boys ready for church. And I was going to church out the door. And she was sitting in her chair there. And she's not moving. And I said, "Aren't you going to church, honey?" He said, "No." The boys were standing there looking at me, just little guys at that time. And I didn't know what else to do. I got down on my knees, Brother Vogeland. And I just put my head on her lap and I was just crying. I said, "Honey, I can't explain it to you of what's happened to me. But I said, if I could cut a little piece out of my heart and put it in your heart, you would understand perfectly what's happened to me, because God is real. He's real. And I want to serve Him the rest of my life. That's all I want to do. And I want you with me." And I got up and she sat there and I said, "Okay, boys," I said, "let's go to church." And she says, "Okay, wait a minute. Can you wait a minute? Let me get ready." And I said, "Certainly." She got ready, went to church. She didn't get saved that night, but about a week later, standing in the pew when they gave the invitation, she was standing to my left, and I didn't go forward, but I was just standing there because pretty soon I felt her nudging me. She said, "Let me out, let me out." And I didn't know what she was doing, whether she was going this way or this way. And she headed for the altar. I was thinking, oh, glory to God. I went down there with her. Somebody came and led her to the Lord, and she got saved. And she, I'll tell you what, it's been the greatest joy in my life, my wife. Well, 2 years later, 2 years, 1972, I just surrendered to the Lord to go into the ministry. That's what I wanted to do. That's all. I didn't want to make money. I said, people need help. I need to pay my debt. My wife, when I went forward, I didn't say anything to her about that, you know, sister. I didn't say anything about what I was going to do. But when I went up and to the altar, she come up and knelt beside me. And get this, she put her arm around me and she said, honey, whatever God wants you to do, wherever he wants you to go, I want you to know I'm right with you. I think that's why she held out, because she was afraid. She knew I was going to be a preacher. And she didn't want to be a preacher's wife. But she got saved. But here's the thing that's in this. You've been so good, but listen. I went to school in 1972. I loved every minute of it. I loved the rules. I loved everything about it. I couldn't get enough of it. And 4 years, my senior year, 1976, a preacher down in Ravenna, Ohio, Bethel Baptist Church, he said, I hear you're graduating here shortly. He said, when you graduate, he said, are you coming down home? I said, yes, I'm going to come down, visit mom. He said, well, would you preach for me when you come down? I said, wow, I'd be more than glad to, certainly. And I went down there in the 76 and preached. What a wonderful service. Had some people saved that day. It was just a marvelous service. And afterwards, he said, Brother Herb, would you go out there and in the entranceway? And he said, when people go out, they want to shake hands with you. And so my mother, he said, take your mother with you. And my wife, and we went out there, and I stood and was shaking hands with people as they would leave. And I noticed that there was a woman over here kind of milling around there in the entranceway, and she would pace back and forth, and she'd kind of look at me and everything, and then she'd go back over and everything, and then she'd look at me again like this, and I, I'm always fearful of that, because, you know, as handsome as I am, it's just that, you know, I don't, sure, but anyway, I've wondered what was going on. And after everybody cleared out, she came over to me, brother, and she stuck out her hand. She said, do you remember me? And I said, no, I don't. I'm sorry. She said, do you remember Maury's dress shop? I said, yes. She said, you remember that woman that waited on you that day that you gave a tract? Told me how you got saved. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. She said, I took that track. And she said, what you didn't know is my wife, my husband and I were just on the verge. We're already with counselors getting a divorce. She said, I went home. And she said, I took that track that you gave me. And I sit down and I read that track. And she said, it made me mad. And I threw it on the coffee table. And she said, I just went out in the kitchen and was doing the dishes and everything. And she said, I found myself crying. And she said, I just went back in again and I sit down and I read it again. And I said, Lord, she said, this is what I need. This is the problem. She said, I got down at that coffee table and called upon the Lord, and he saved me that day. 1976. And she said, that's not all. She said, Brother Herb, she said, when I got saved, she said, I wanted to go to a church that preached the Bible. And she said, so I see this track and I found out where to go to church. And she said, guess who went to church with me that next Sunday? She said, my husband. My husband went with me. And she said, he went forward. And when they gave the invitation, when I made a public profession, and my husband came with me, and he got saved, Brother Herb. And she said, you know what? She said, did you see the man up there leading music today? I said, yes. She said, that's my husband. She said, listen, she said, we're going to school down at Tennessee Temple when Dr. Robertson was there. She said, we're going to school. He's going to be a preacher, Brother Herb. Thank you for paying your debt. Wow. Isn't that something? You never know. You never know what God will do if we'll just take that opportunity He gives us and pay our debt. Listen, folks, we're debtors to the Greek, to the barbarians, to the wise, the unwise. And like Paul, we ought to be ready with everything in us to pay our debt. I want you to stand with me, please. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed. I wonder, while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, how many of you have loved ones in your family that are lost? Let me see your hand. Oh my goodness. Just about everybody. You can put your hands down. Do you know something? You may be the only link to get them to heaven. Will you pay your debt? Will you pay your debt? You have someone at work. Maybe you work where you work that's lost. You may be that link that will link them with Jesus Christ if you pay your debt.